Amen. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter with me.
This morning, the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3.
We know as Christians our first duty and obligation is to the Lord. And that should, of course, direct and guide all of our decisions, all of our conduct, all of our behavior, as we are, first of all, citizens of heaven, bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We belong to Him. But then, of course, we are still citizens of this country and this nation, and we should seek the welfare and the prosperity of our nation. And we know that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. One of the best things we can do for our country is to be the Christians God called us to be. And all that we've heard, the history that we've heard again here this morning, just reminds us that God blessed this nation, gave grace to this nation, as this nation's founding, beginning, sought to seek and to honor God and to put Him first. But my, how we have so drifted. Amen. We have so drifted so far away. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 11, the disciples asked the Lord, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. And there, of course, we have the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, when He said, "When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." I want you to understand that those principles that the Lord Jesus gave, that practical explanation of prayer, of recognizing the holiness of God, and the fact that His kingdom has not came yet. But yet the kingdom of God is yet to come. And we as Christians should be looking for that kingdom, to pray for His kingdom to come. In fact, one has explained the book of the Revelation as that very prayer beginning to take place. In the book of the Revelation, you go from scenes on earth and then you move to scenes in heaven. And God's word is decreed in heaven and God's will is carried out upon earth. That's really an explanation of the book of the Revelation. That His will ultimately being accomplished in earth. But Peter reminds us here in 2 Peter chapter 3 that this earth is going to be dissolved. It's going to be destroyed. I bring out that point this morning just to remind us that our allegiance, our main loyalty is to heaven. And again, we should be seeking the things which are above. Amen? And that shouldn't make us less of a patriot. It should make us more of a patriot. To seek God's blessing and His favor upon our nation. And by the way, whatever nation we would have been born in, or whatever nation we particularly might be living in, we should be seeking God's blessing and God's favor upon that nation. In fact, the Lord told the children of Israel, whatever nation they were carried to, they were to seek God's blessing there upon that nation, whatever nation that was. And I think the Jews have played a huge role in God's blessing being upon our nation. The Jews that have lived and migrated and have made America their home, I think, have brought a lot of the favor and blessing of God. And by the way, it's so sad to see so many that are still so anti-Semitic and think nothing of spitting upon or bashing a Jew when they find out that his nationality is a Jew. That pretty much tells you what side they're on. When somebody takes up that kind of hatred against the Jewish nation, that they're identifying whose side they're on. Amen? And God help us if we ever turn our back upon the nation of Israel. But I want us to pick up a couple of verses here in 2 Peter chapter 3, where the Bible tells us in verse 8, we'll begin in verse 8, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day." Now God, of course, is the great I Am. He's not limited by time or space. God lives in the now. And so time, of course, He is not restricted to time where you and I are. But it speaks of His omnipresence in all time and space. It also speaks of His long-suffering, His great compassion. For verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Verse 12 says, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And according to the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them the things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Our Father, we do ask for your blessing, your anointing upon the preaching of your word. Give us ears to hear and a tender heart to receive your precious will into our lives. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth. We should be very much interested in God's will being accomplished in our lives. Amen. And accomplished upon this earth. Now we, of course, are confined to this earth until He sees fit to call us home, either in our death or in our gathering together unto Him in the rapture. And I prefer the second. Amen. I prefer going through the clouds rather than going through the clods. But nevertheless, I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. How about you? Amen. One of the greatest needs of mankind is to be saved and to know that heaven is their eternal home. These verses tell us that God is sure in His judgment. Now He's long-suffering. God is so patient, so kind. But His judgment is sure. I've told you before, Brother Clifford Rice used to make this statement in a sermon, actually, that he preached, and he titled it this. He said, "If I didn't know better, I would think that sin was winning." You ever begin to think that way? You ever begin to think that, my goodness, just how dark can it get? How dirty can it get? How disgraceful can people continue to behave? Well, we need to be reminded, as these verses do remind us, chapter 2 and chapter 3, that God will judge sin. We need to know that as a nation, but we also need to know that as an individual. We find in chapter 2 that God judged the fallen angels. Look at it, if you would, in verse 4 of chapter 2. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Now here's a fallacy that a lot of people have. I won't say a lot of people, but some people have. They have this false belief that they are going to be secure in heaven. Now listen to me. They'll think, boy, one of these days I'm going to hold out and I'm going to hang on, and one of these days I'm going to get in heaven and the door shut behind me and say, whoo, now I'm secure. Friend, listen to me. The Bible says security is not in a place. Security is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The truth is the angels, the fallen angels, were cast out of heaven. Amen? I mean, my goodness. You think, well, boy, I'm going to get in and I'm going to get the door slammed behind me and I'm going to finally be secure. No, that's not a Bible truth. The Bible truth is our security is in Christ. Amen? Our security is in Christ. The Ark of Noah was a type of Christ, and Noah was placed in that ark, a place of safety, a place of security from the wrath and the judgment that came upon mankind. And his security was in that that he was in Christ, that ark. And our security, of course, is in the Lord Jesus. Listen, you say, well, people is getting away with sin. No, they're not, my friend. It'll either be judged here or judged hereafter. Your sins will either be placed upon the Lord Jesus as He takes those sins, as we humble ourselves before Him and confess our need for salvation, or that sin will be judged for eternity. Eternity in hell. The Bible says that the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. He judged the fallen angels, chapter 2 and verse 4. He judged the old world there in Noah's day. The Bible tells us the earth was corrupt, kind of like it is today. I mean, men's hearts were wicked, exceedingly wicked. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says that that world perished. Look in chapter 3, if you would, in verse 4. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world," verse 6, "that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." The great flood that God brought upon this earth and destroyed all that had breath. They died, 8 souls. The Bible says was the only one saved in the ark. God judged the angels. God judged Noah. But back in chapter 2, God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, that wicked, vile city, verse 6, "and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Oh, America needs to hear that message. Our world is very quickly turning to sodomy and embracing sodomy and trying to convince everyone that it's lovely, it's nice, it's wonderful, it's an alternative. No, the Bible says it's sin. It's vile sin, and God judged it. It is only the mercy of God that we as yet are not consumed as a nation for this dark, wicked path that we've trodden down. The Bible spared Lot from such a vile place. And Lot is certainly a picture of the Christian. He's taken out, and then the judgment comes. God is long-suffering, is He not? We find that it's mentioned over and over in these verses. of His long suffering. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. In other words, not like you and I, as some men count slackness. We may promise to meet so-and-so tomorrow and give our word and give our promise, but we may be there and we may not. But God's not like that. His word is sure. His promises is sure. And one of His wonderful promises is that He is long-suffering. I like that word, don't you? He's long-suffering to us words. God is so wonderfully compassionate to the needs and the fallen nature of man that He extends an arm of grace. He extends His mercy out to those that are lost. He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that's what we're experiencing today, is the long-suffering of God. Nothing else needs to take place, I believe, for the Lord Jesus to split the skies and for the rapture of the church to take place. And then the final years of judgment begin to take place upon this earth. I believe with all of my heart it's just the long suffering of God, that God is still waiting. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, look down in verse 20. This explains again God's long suffering in the days of Noah. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God waited a long time before He sent judgment. In fact, He pronounced His judgment in the death of Methuselah. And Methuselah lived the longest of any man that's ever lived. God said when he's gone, judgment will come. That's the long-suffering of God. Amen? Where God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And the Scripture is quick to point out not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Say, preacher, what about that word baptism? Well, don't think of water when you read that word right there. It means to be placed into. To be placed into Christ. To be baptized into Christ. You say, well, it says Noah was saved. Their eight souls were saved by water. Yeah, but be reminded they never even got wet. Man, they never even got wet. Oh, there's such false doctrines that are taught about baptismal regeneration. Listen, it's the blood that washes away sin. Water never can and never will. It's the precious blood. They were placed into Christ. And that's what it means to be baptized into Christ. Not baptized into the water, baptized into Christ. It's a like figure, verse 21. In other words, it's symbolism. It's not the reality. It's symbolism. It pictures that. Well, we must go on. God is long-suffering. The Bible tells us again, what manner of persons ought we to be? If all of these things are going to take place, the sureness of God's judgment, the long suffering of His desire for others to be saved, what manner of persons ought we to be? I'll tell you, there's much could be said about that. What kind of people we ought to be. But number one, the Bible says we ought to be godly. We ought to be godly. Look at verse 11 again. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Gone. The earth. All the things of the earth. Look at verse 10 again. But the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Gone. Brother, you better make sure, sister, you better make sure that you're living for the world that is to come. Because this old world's going to be gone. Going to be burned up. Going to be dissolved, the Bible says. What manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness. A lot of the work of God in our country is suffering for the lack of holiness and godliness. The church in our day, and I use that term loosely, the church in our day has become so worldly, so ungodly, that it staggers the mind. I feel sorry. I really feel sorry for a lost man out there today trying to look and find the truth of God. I really feel sorry for him. When so many churches have diverted to worldly tactics, worldly music, and worldly ways to try to present the gospel. I tell you, it's frightening. It's alarming. What manner of persons ought you to be? The Bible says, number one, we ought to be holy. We ought to be godly. We ought to strive to live a godly life. We ought to desire to be more like the Lord Jesus. His love, His compassion, His life, His mannerisms. And that's a life that honors God. I'll tell you. We ought to be a people of a godly life. We ought to be a people longing and looking for the Lord to come. We shouldn't be a people of no hope. We shouldn't be a people of dread and sorrow and just down in the mouth and down in the dumps. Look at verse 12. We're looking and hastening for the coming day of God. We're looking for His kingdom to come. That's a blessed hope. Hey, if all of our eggs are in the basket of this world, I could see why we would be upset. But my friend, listen, our expectations are from above. Our desire is for His kingdom to come. Our desire is for His will to be done. And it will be one day. Amen? It will be. Man will not defeat God's will or deter God's purpose that He has put forth. We should be looking and longing for our Lord to return. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. And by the way, you can go again to the book of the Revelation and see that taking place, where John the Revelator said, I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For those former ones were passed away. They're gone. What is the outstanding attribute of this new heaven and new earth? Verse 13, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hard for us to fathom such a place because we live in such a pigsty. We live in such a polluted, disgraceful world where sin is glamorized and sin is made to look so appealing and so wonderful. The Bible says this new heaven and new earth, there will only be righteousness. What a place, amen? What a place. The Bible says we should be looking and longing for Him to come. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, are you looking for the Lord to come? Are you longing for Him to come? Be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Longing for Him to come. And then we mentioned some of this some time ago, but verse 17 draws this point that all of us should desire to end well. We should all desire to finish the course, the race that God has set before us. No place to quit. No place to stop until He calls us home. Of all the apostles, Peter was so fitting, he would be so fitting to write these words for inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Peter knew personally the danger of straying away from Christ. Peter knew the allurement, the temptation to deny his Lord in the face of Calvary looming large and the possibility of death for all of the apostles as he denied the Lord that he even knew him three times. I no doubt he felt the sting of that for the rest of his life. how he had so denied his Lord. But I think he so purposed to never to ever do that again and desire to be true and faithful as the Bible records that he was. You say, well, I'll never be led away. Oh, friend, hey, don't be so naive. I'll always be steadfast, preacher. You can count on me. Hey, I've known a lot that have said that and have came across as appearing that they would be, but where are they at now? So many have turned aside to whatever. They're busy with this life and busy with other things and seem to have no time for God now. Something's wrong with that, isn't it? Not only that, the danger of those that would mislead. I'll tell you, never has there been a more dire time for you personally to know the truth of God in your heart that you'd not be led astray by something that's said or something that's preached or something maybe you see on the internet and read on the internet. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff out there that'll tell you all kinds of silly notions and ideals. And so many people are led away. Look at it again. Being led away with the air of the wicked. What happens? Well, they're not standing for Christ anymore. They have fallen from their own steadfastness. Brothers and sisters, what manner of persons ought we to be? I tell you, we should strive to be steadfast. We are to be like the little boy's pony. They said, son, can your pony run fast? He said, no, sir, but he can stand fast. Amen? I like that. And I'll tell you, we may not be the fastest. We may not be the brightest. But I'll tell you, we could be steadfast. We could stay true blue to the Lord Jesus and honor Him with our life. And I'll tell you, it ought to be our heart's desire to live a life that way. That we die with, I'm telling you, our boots on and our heart full of the love of God and serving Him faithfully every day. These things, the Bible said, are going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be? I'll tell you, we should be looking for His kingdom. For His kingdom to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Let's pray together. But our Father, we thank You that You've not left us in the dark. But Lord, You've given us the light of the Word of God. Father, I pray You'd help us to read it and heed it. Help us to learn it and study it. And help us to give it away to others that are stumbling in the dark. Lord, may we be long-suffering as You are to those that need to be saved. Help us to have a heart of compassion to reach out to them with the love of the cross. Thank You for Your grace. We pray You'd strengthen us, dear Lord, in our faith. In Jesus' name.